Kent Online News.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.
Lucy Hickmott.
It's Thursday, the 20th of June. Coming up, report blames dysfunctional housing market for rise in homelessness.
We are in crisis when it comes to housing in this country, and we need, you know, to have a clear, you know, just three recommendations that clearly set out, you know, things that the government could do.
Artwork created by refugees on display in Kent.
I draw the picture of through my heart, through my, like, everything in my mind. Can't say I'm really happy every day.
And Kent's Fire and Rescue Service rated among the best in the country.
The services we now provide to people are better than they even were 10 years ago, despite the fact we've had to make some really difficult, obviously, austerity cuts.
Kent Online News.
First today, a dysfunctional housing market and inadequate welfare regime is being blamed for a dramatic rise in homelessness. A report which has taken a year to put together says rough sleeping is just the tip of the iceberg and much more needs to be done to tackle the issue. It's calling for sustainable and affordable housing, along with more mental health support and addiction services. Councillor Peter Fleming, who's the leader of Sevenoaks District Council, is co-chair of the commission who carried out the study.
The government needs to commit itself to a coherent combined housing and homelessness strategy, linking the building of homes and the conquering of homelessness together with sustainable funding for local authorities to put in those preventative programs that are so important in place. And it has to have a commitment that goes beyond the 2020 deadline, which is the bit that covers current council funding. And that's always really difficult for governments to do.
The report is also seems to be quite critical of the current welfare system, particularly universal credit. Is that one of the things that was raised quite regularly as you were doing this investigation?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. So universal credit, the basic principle of it, I don't think anybody disagrees with, which is that you should be always better in work than out of work. I think the issue is, and this was pointed out to government, you know, hugely before the introduction of universal credit, which is the role in of housing benefit into this credit, which was the one part of the benefit system that sat with local authorities. And there's a reason why it sat with local authorities, and that was that the government had given it to local authorities because it was too complicated for the government to deal with. They gave it to local authorities. They then decided to roll into universal credit, and it has had an enormous effect because those housing costs, the bit that's covered by a housing benefit, is now part of a single payment. And of course, if somebody gets behind on their rent or anything like that, then, you know, the opportunity for us to intervene has gone because we're no longer part of that benefits process. But also for people who are potentially weekly paid at the moment, you know, on all of those sorts, this comes as a lump sum of money monthly. So for budgeting purposes, it makes it a lot harder for people that are on lower pay to make those budgeting decisions, because actually it's all rolled up into one single payment. So, you know, those were said right at the beginning, and it's come to pass that has become a significant issue with the rollout of universal credit.
And these people who are struggling, they're not necessarily the people that we see sleeping in shop doorways on the high streets around Kent, but very often could be things like sofa surfing or in B&Bs and things like that. So it really is quite a hidden problem. Is that what you found during the time of putting this report together?
Look, one of the reasons for doing this commission and having the commission was to highlight the fact that although the government and successive governments have focused on street homelessness, actually that is a very, very, very small part of the overall homelessness picture in this country. Because once you start to include people that are in unsatisfactory temporary accommodation, if you include those people who are, like you say, sofa surfing or of no, you know, fixed home, you know, going from a short-term tenancy to another short-term tenancy to another short-term tenancy, they may not be on the street, but they are, you know, they are not they do not have a permanent home or place that they can call home. And actually, you know, that is the massive hidden crisis in housing in this country.
Kent Online reports.
A German schoolboy who's been left in a coma following what some fear was a racist attack in Canterbury is said to be improving in hospital. 17-year-old Daniel Ezzedine, who's of Lebanese descent, suffered horrific injuries after being assaulted in Rose Lane 2 weeks ago. His family say he was initially given a 30% chance of survival, but his condition is now getting better. So far, six teenagers and a man have been arrested over the attack, but no one's been charged. An officer at Maidstone Prison who started a relationship with an inmate has avoided being jailed. A court heard Chelsea Scott had used a previous name of Kendall Love to hide another relationship during her training. The 39-year-old from Ashford has been given a suspended sentence and told to carry out 200 hours of unpaid work. The number of refugees escaping war, persecution and conflict has reached the highest number ever recorded by the United Nations. Globally, nearly 37,000 people are being forced from their homes every day. The figures have been released on World Refugee Day, which is also being marked here in Kent. Artwork created by asylum-seeking children has gone on display at galleries in the county. The exhibition was launched at the Turner Contemporary in Margate this week and is now at Deal Library. Phil's been finding out more from Nick Crick, who's in charge of dealing with young unaccompanied asylum seekers in the county.
So we're here to see artwork by unaccompanied asylum seeking children to celebrate Refugee Week, to promote their abilities, their skills, and also highlight some of their experiences that they've had.
And what are you basically aiming to show people here today? Is it the stories of refugees that sometimes maybe are ignored or forgotten?
Well, as part of Refugee Week, we want to promote their experiences, obviously share their stories, but also give them the platform to celebrate the work they've done. But also as corporate parents, as Kent County Council, we want to just celebrate the welfare and well-being of their experiences.
You say you want to promote, give them a platform, really. Why is it so important to give these people that real platform to express their experiences?
I think the main reason for me, or for us really, is as corporate parents, we want to celebrate the experiences for all children and understand that these are children, young people that we have corporate parental responsibility for, so we look after them in Kent, and therefore, like all children, we want to promote their well-being and promote what they're good at and to highlight their skills, also at the same time share experiences to the wider community and raise awareness.
Of course, you've touched on that, it's Refugee Week this week. You know, how nice it's to have a week to really recognise that, you know, a real humanitarian crisis that even today is still going on.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic for this country to recognise refugees in such a way. I mean, it's a national celebratory event. There's lots of things going on around the country, not just in Kent, but obviously from our perspective, we have so many young people because obviously we manage the coastal area. We have major ports. So it's fantastic that we can take the opportunity just to reflect on a humanitarian ground, but also just reflect on the fact that these are children and young people who we have a duty to care for.
And just finally, it's, you know, quite a heavy question, but do you feel that in this country, you know, refugees are sometimes maybe not looked upon too favourably? They sort of come over and there's maybe an attitude in modern England that they're maybe not that welcome here. Do you think that, you know, weeks and exhibitions like this really do help to maybe change those people's minds?
I would hope so, but first and foremost, I'm a social worker, so my responsibility is to care for children, young people who are vulnerable. The circumstances that happen worldwide, we can't control. What we can do is make sure we give them good quality care and look after them and give them the opportunities to thrive. It is for the Home Office, for the government, for councillors and for the law to look at what's going on around the country and around the world.
Grimalem Kasser, who's originally from Eritrea, has six of his pieces on display.
How does it feel to have your work here and recognised?
Yeah, it feels really good, but I feel every day I'm really good without even the people didn't see, because I draw the picture of through my heart, through my, like, everything in my mind. So it just every day feel like really, really, you know, just can say I'm really happy every day. Even now, just more happy.
Yeah. And what kind of an outlet does you know, being able to paint your pieces and really tell your story, what sort of an outlet does that give to you? And is it nice to, you know, to be able to, does it, you know, make things a little bit nicer to be able just to be able to, you know, put it down on paintings and other people can enjoy it?
Yeah. Just as, like, we have a life and you wouldn't show the life you have. It's just you wouldn't share with you, like, related people, like relationship or with whatever you have. You wouldn't share that life you have. Yeah? All I have, I share with art piece, and that is go to people like today. Is I share with everyone else. So, yeah.
As well, do you think that the maybe the stories of a lot of refugees aren't maybe heard enough? Do you think that a lot of them maybe are forgotten?
A lot of them have been forgotten. It just you can see, you know, some of them. But some of them, like me, they may be hiding. They may have, like, no one see them, but they still on the track. They still doing it. They what they are in their minds or what they are in this scene. These people need to find out, like, where are they? You know, but maybe. Some people have been hiding, some people have been forgetting, but some people didn't. Still doing better than I do, some. Yeah.
Is it now just a case of sharing your story now as much as possible, maybe getting into London, into, you know, other parts of the country, just really sharing your experience?
Yeah, it's just good, like, sharing my experience in here. It just, I don't have any teacher. I didn't have, when I do this art, I didn't have anyone else except my foster carer, bought all the canvas and bring into my room and support me, like, say, whoa, this is really good picture, this is really nice. Except that I didn't have anyone to share, like, oh, you do this, you do this. I didn't have no one to say that. So, but for this, anyone seen my picture, they could do it. They just need to, like, you know, little bit stand up for it and just do what they really seen it and love it or want to do it.
From next month, the exhibition will go on a tour of public libraries.
Kent Online News.
After torrential rain and lightning earlier this week, forecasters are warning of more bad weather on the way. They've issued a yellow weather warning for thunderstorms from Sunday afternoon and throughout Monday. It looks like it'll be followed by a mini heatwave, though, with highs of up to 32 degrees on Wednesday. Now, in the first review of its kind, Kent's Fire and Rescue Service has been rated good by inspectors. It means they're one of the best in the country of those assessed so far as part of a programme to inspect all 45 fire services in England. Inspectors visited in January and looked at things like how they respond to fires and other emergencies and how well the service looks after its staff. Christina's been chatting to the chief exec of Kent Fire and Rescue, Anne Millington.
We're all absolutely delighted. We knew that we were a really good service, so to be rated as one of the top performing services in the country, it is obviously very satisfying, and I think more what it is a celebration of what our staff do every single day for the people of Kent.
So what were the key points that, you know, you feel really proud of that really stood out to you?
I think we've been through 10 years of some really difficult change. There's been a real transformation in how we provide our services, and the fact that the staff have coped so well with that, they've delivered many of the ideas, they've handled that change so positively. And the services we now provide to people are better than they even were 10 years ago, despite the fact we've had to make some really difficult, obviously, austerity cuts. So I'm so proud of our people, and I'm very proud of the services that we do deliver to the people of Kent.
So this was sort of the first real inspection at the fire service. Why do you think they're so important?
Well, if you think about it, there's 50 services across the UK, Northern Ireland, Scotland, Wales, obviously, and 45 in England. And it's important to understand how you benchmark across all of those services to make sure that you're doing the very best, to learn from each other, to look at different innovations, and to make sure, in a sense, that some of the things that we're doing become standardised. Because one of the things that the inspection has raised is that there are different practices for different people, and then what is best? What does good look like? So this is the very first time that we've been inspected for a very long time, and it's creating not just an individual mark for everybody, but raising some really important national questions that we need to look at. So it's really important.
So one of the things that was sort of raised in terms of your independent inspection was that there was a failing to meet targets for protection work such as audits and security controls. So obviously you've got that feedback. How do you feel about that, and what are you going to do to kind of
Well, it literally caught us at the moment when a number of people had retired and we were in the middle of recruitment for new people. So actually, we're back right on target, but we just had one of those blips. It's very important, obviously, and people will recognise since Grenville that we're out there working with buildings and building safety and working with all the building owners to make sure that they're doing things very safely. We do that very well. But literally in the moment when they inspected, which was in January, we were in the middle of that bid. So we'd slightly fallen behind on our targets. We're absolutely back up there. But it's vitally important that we maintain that. So we're in the middle of looking at some new ways to do that auditing, including technology.
In terms of recruitment, that was another point that I wanted to raise. It was just that they said, you know, the workforce didn't reflect the wider society in the amount of the black ethnic minority and Asian people recruited, as well as
women, indeed.
So how are you going to kind of combat that?
We do so much work in the community trying to persuade people that this is a job for everybody. I think the very traditional stereotypical image is of a white male. All the imaging has been white male in the past. So people don't think about us. Even when they're leaving school, they don't think about fire. So we're doing lots and lots of work in our community, and this is a great opportunity, and thank you for it, to say, please think of us as an opportunity to come and work. All of our, from middle manager and senior manager, it's actually half and half. We've got male and female, so it's a great representation there. But in terms of our firefighters, people still don't think of it as a job for them, and it absolutely is. It doesn't require massive strength or being 6'10" or anything else. It just requires people who've got really great people skills, good problem solving, and they want to do that kind of work in the community. So it's open to everybody. It's just that lag in getting people used to the idea they can be a firefighter.
So obviously you got a good overall rating, you know, the comments from it were really sort of positive overall. What are you going to do, you know, for the next inspection, however far away that might be, to get into that next level?
Well, one of the things that will have to happen in order to get the outstanding, we recognise that nobody nationally would get an outstanding this time round because of these variances in how different services work. So we're all working nationally to make sure that we've got standards that can be inspected against, so that's a kind of particular issue. As far as Kent is concerned, we've always been on the front foot of innovation. We're always looking to see how we can improve services. When we go out this year, we have a safety plan, as we call it every year, where we go to public consultation. This year, we'll very much be wanting to talk to different communities about what can we do to look after them specifically. Different communities need different things. If you have dementia, you can see my dementia friend badge here. If you have dementia, you have different needs from somebody who's a young family. So we're wanting to make sure that we understand everybody's needs. So we are always going to be making sure that we get better and better, even without inspection. It's just important that we do that as a service. We're very good at it.
Kent Online Sport.
Football, and Gillingham will get the new season underway with a trip to Doncaster Rovers. The League One fixtures have been released this morning, with the Jewels' first game on Saturday, the 3rd of August. They'll welcome Burton Albion to Priestfield the following weekend. And finally today, a kitten's been freed by vets in Gillingham after getting her head stuck in a plastic toy. In our story online, you can see a picture of the 5-week-old cat looking thoroughly fed up with the ordeal. Vets who rescued her also discovered she was dangerously anemic and treated her for that as well. That's it for now, but don't forget you can go to kentonline.co.uk for more news throughout the day.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.